Sunday, I preached on a parable which we know as the prodigal son. And I explained, at least to the 10:30 audience, that the word prodigal meant extravagant or luxurious or opulent. Any of those words will do. And so this morning's gospel could be described as the prodigal believer, in that Mary did something extraordinary. She took a container of perfume, and in Jesus' day would be a container that would be a ceramic container or porcelain in any case. In order to open it, you had to break it to open it. It didn't have a screw on the top, as we are familiar with, or a ziplock. So once you opened it, it was open. And so she breaks the container and anoints Jesus' feet with this perfume, and the smell of the perfume fills the house, and she dries his feet with her hair. That may seem odd to us, but again, in Jesus' day, people did not sit in chairs as they do nowadays. They kind of leaned on cushions towards a very low table, and so one's feet would likely be behind them, and so it was kind of easy to sneak up on Jesus, I suppose, and to do this thing for him without necessarily him noticing it immediately. And so this kind of humble gift is what Mary gives to Jesus. It's a gift of reverence, but it's also a gift of thanksgiving. And ultimately, it is a gift of love. She does something outrageous. She, who purchased this perfume, which cost a year's worth of salary, 300 denarii, about a year's worth of salary. It's very expensive, literally in our day, thousands of dollars. But she does this extravagant, incredible, I would say probably also unbelievable thing for Jesus in the midst of a party, and it has to be characterized as a party. They had given a dinner for Jesus after he had raised Lazarus from the dead. There's no way you can think of this as other than a party or a celebration. And so, you know, Mary does this thing. And in the midst of this, Judas Iscariot complains about her gift of love, saying, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii, the money given to the poor? What a noble man he must be, worrying about the poor. Our writer makes it clear that that's not his intention, that is not his character. But Jesus will have none of this. It is not that Jesus doesn't care for the poor, but he values her gift. It is an anointing. Not an anointing unto life, but an anointing unto death. At this point, our Lord knows that when he goes to Jerusalem, he will not leave Jerusalem. Not alive in any case. And what his last words are in today's gospel, I think are prophetic. You will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. And I tend to believe that that is probably true, even though our intentions to rid the world of poverty are good intentions, as long as there are human beings on this planet, more than one, I'm sure there will be poverty for at least one person. Our gospel story this morning, at least in part, makes a connection between faith and money and our life in Christ. And I've come to believe that most Christians recognize that God can do anything. God can do anything. And that our God is a generous God. He blesses us with life. He gives us the gift of faith. We also have the gift of God's unmerited favor. We have grace. And so we've been blessed abundantly. We have a generous, loving God who's blessed us abundantly. And so Scripture tells us that because we have been blessed abundantly in both material and spiritual ways, we should also be generous to others. And most people, at least in their minds, understand that concept. You've been blessed abundantly, therefore you should be generous with others, especially to those in need. And I tend to think Christians get that. People who believe in Jesus Christ get that. We recognize we've been blessed abundantly from a God who can do all things, and so we share with others, especially those in need. What we forget sometimes is that this idea of generosity and giving and opulence and extravagance really should find some expression in our own lives. That is to say, that if we believe in a God who can do anything and can create out of nothing, and if we believe God is generous, and if we believe we're called to be generous, then our lives should not be focused on money. More importantly, we should not be focused on the scarcity of money and the scarcity of resources. Do you know you can go to the internet and you can look up stingy Christians and you can find a number of articles that are written about stingy Christians? And I tend to think that's an oxymoron. Christians should not be stingy. We have every reason to be extravagant. And the reason we have every reason to be extravagant is we have an extravagant God who gives us all we need as we need it. Sometimes God doesn't give you what you need when you need it. You think, oh, I need it now, Lord. Why don't you give it to me now? He gives it to you as you need it, in his timetable, not your timetable. But if you truly believe in an extravagant, generous God who can do anything, and if you truly serve him and you want to live your life according to his word and his ways and his will, then Christians should not only be charitable to those who are in need, they should be foolishly charitable to those in need and live their life not necessarily worrying about every penny that they have. I realize that's counter to our culture, and it's counter to our understanding of money and wealth. I'm not saying that you should just throw money at people, but I am saying you shouldn't squeeze a quarter so hard that the eagle screams. There was, when I was a kid, people would talk about this. No, this is the idea of being generous, even to the point of it sometimes doing foolish things for one another. It is not a bad thing for Christians to give each other gifts, or perhaps even more outrageous and countercultural, to give a gift to someone who is not your friend, to someone who is not your neighbor, to someone who is not in need, just because you can. Because your God is a God of abundance and a God who is generous, and therefore you can be like your God in the sense that you can give, not worrying about the future so much so that you tighten your grip on your money. I swear there are people who go to their grave and their hands are clenched, because that's how they've lived their lives. They've lived their lives with their hands clenched. They don't want to give. They don't want to give their time. They don't want to give their money. And they do so grudgingly. Mary has done an exceptional thing here. She has provided a model for faith. She has said to our Lord, I love you so much, I'm going to do something extravagant, something outrageous. Perhaps I can't do this more than once in my lifetime, but I will do it. How nice it would be if we could, on a kind of infrequent, unannounced, perhaps even anonymous basis, give each other good gifts. Perhaps even be extravagant with our gifts, knowing that God will bless us in our giving at some later date. It is the uncertainty of life and the certainty of death that makes us bad givers. We worry too much about death, and we are too concerned about what will happen in the next 20 minutes to be the kind of Christians that we should be. My own question is, as we hear the story, we don't necessarily just dwell on Jesus' impending death. We have a whole other week to do that. My hope for us is, as we hear the scripture, it'll open up our eyes to our own life and how we can live in Christ in new ways. How we can be a blessing to our friends and neighbors and perhaps even our enemies in this life. I don't think there's anything wrong with bequests and endowments, but how much nicer it is to give a gift in life and to see what that gift might mean to someone else. There are children, certainly, that don't have food. There are children who don't have the clothing they need. There are children who space to breathe financially, a gift for no reason, perhaps even extravagant, because God has blessed you. God has blessed your family. God has blessed your church. God has blessed your community. God has blessed your nation. This scripture cuts me to the core because it reminds us of who we're supposed to be, not necessarily who we are. Thrifty is not a bad thing. But thrift that gets in the way of our faith is a bad thing. Anything that gets in the way of our relationship to God and our neighbor is a problem. It is an obstacle. It could be a sin. My hope for us this morning is as we hear the scripture, we can dare to be extravagant at times with others for no particular reason except an expression of our faith, that we believe in a God who is loving and kind and generous and extravagant with all his good gifts. And that we know that as we are blessed now, God has blessings waiting for us in the future. We haven't seen them. We don't know what they are. We have no inkling of how God is going to bless us. But we know that our God will do so. And we do so based on faith. Please take this opportunity to get some serious thought about why you give and how you give and how much you give and under what circumstances. I tend to think sometimes we Christians need a bill in order to become generous. I've had people say to me, "Pastor, show me a bill and I will pay it." And I think to myself, you don't understand, do you? This is not about bills. This is about joy. It's about thanksgiving. It's about recognizing God gives abundantly. You don't even need a bill. If you want to give, if you don't want to give, if you need a bill, maybe you should keep that money. Maybe you should just keep it in your pocket. Maybe it should burn a hole in your pants. Let us be as kind and as generous and as good-natured and as extravagant as Mary was. Indeed, she gave a very good gift, an extravagant gift, an outrageous gift. Under joyful circumstances, let us also recognize that we can be like Mary in the sense that we can give such gifts also. Thanks be to God.